Lord, thank you much for the day, and we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. We ask, Lord, again, that you would just teach us and, Lord, give us a heart to learn and to live your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're on the sixth discipline again. It's all on the front that we've covered on the sixth discipline so far. Here's the six disciplines on my right, your left: Bible immersion, continuous prayer, yielded followership, generous giving, committed gathering, and selfless serving. We're on the selfless serving part. Today's is going to overlap with the morning service, almost in an amazing way. You can see on the front here, God's purpose and plan in saving me involves my selfless serving of others for the growth of His body and the advancement of His kingdom. That's what God wants of us. That's what God expects of us. That's what God designed for us. We gave six reasons to serve. Those are in your notes. We talked about God's view of greatness, and He's the one that defines greatness in this life is by serving. The one who serves is greater. What is service? And we looked at 13 ways that the Bible reveals serving. There's more for sure, but these are just some that the Bible specifically tied in with serving. And then follow, last week we talked about follow the server, helping those who help. And we talked about the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have devoted themselves to the ministry, the serving of the saints. And I put the four main points on it. The decision was that they chose to devote themselves. The decider, they chose to do this, and they were commended for that. The direction to the ministry of the saints. That they made that up as their life focus rather than something to do if they had time at the end. And then the directive, we're commanded to submit ourselves to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. So that's what we covered last week. Now if you turn your sheet over and then turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 brings up a lot of stuff that we don't have time to talk about. It's a fascinating passage. I've never preached all the way through Galatians. It's one that I would love to sometime. Very, very foundational book. Chapter 5 of Galatians. And I'm going to read starting at verse 13. It picks up. It's continuous run of thought, so we're kind of starting in the middle. But I'll do that, and I'm going to read to the end of the chapter, okay? Galatians 5, 13 through 26 says this: "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There's a lot here, and I hope to cover all of this today, as you see. So I wrote as much as I could get on the board that I think you could see, and then I will fill in the blanks as we go here. But look at verse 13. This is really the key verse that I was honing in on. But you can't really just go by just the one verse because it keeps going. It keeps talking about it. Notice here, number one, liberty. It talks about liberty. We can use the, what's another word for liberty? Freedom, okay? Liberty, freedom. And it's used several times in this passage. We are freed. We have freedom to what? To serve. And that's what we have to look at. Number one is freedom to serve. And I believe believers are mistaken. Either they're ignorant or they're rebellious in the idea to think that once I'm saved, I can just do whatever I want. Now, as far as salvation is concerned, that's true, isn't it? I mean, honestly. Because Jesus Christ has died for all of our sins. Correct? Sorry. Jesus Christ has died for all of our sins. There's nothing you can do to add or take away from salvation. Christ paid for all of your sins. But that is, if you think that He saved you so you can be your own God, we're drastically mistaken. He didn't create Adam to be His own God. He created us for Himself, not us for ourselves. When we are saved, we gain liberty and we are free to do what God originally intended to do, and that's to serve. Now, we're serving one way or the other. We're either serving sin or we're serving God. We're slaves to something. We've said that before. Romans 6 is clear about that. If you think you're your own person, you're a slave to sin. That's just the way it works. Verse 13 goes on to say that our calling is freedom from two things. Can you tell me what they are? Still in verse 13 there. Not 13. 14. No? This is a summary statement. Never mind. If you look through the passage, you might not have caught it. They both start with L. Lust is one. I'll put it here. And the law. Okay? Isn't that amazing that we're free from the law? The Old Testament does not bind us. And a lot of people think, see, I can do whatever I want. No, that's not what it's saying. We're not under the oppressive restrictions of the law. We have a brand new law, in a sense of summary. We don't have to follow the details because God's given us an easier way to remember it instead of memorizing the Old Testament. Anyone here got the 39 books of the Old Testament memorized? How you doing, Ted? Okay. Me neither. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's freedom from the law, which we'll talk about. That's not our primary emphasis. We'll talk about it just briefly. And from lust. Those tie in. I know it sounds funny, but those tie in how? The law reveals our lustful hearts. It reveals our sin. The law doesn't make us a sinner. It just shows that we are sinners. Okay? The place of the law, the Bible says in Romans 3, is to show that we're all guilty before God, not to make a path of righteousness for us. You know, if we keep the Ten Commandments, do we get to go to heaven? Well, technically, if you're perfect, you get to go to heaven. Romans 2 talks about that. The problem is, what's the problem? Nobody's perfect. Bummer. It's like, sure, if you want to go on those terms, it's not going to happen. All of sin. Everyone falls short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, right? Okay? So we're free from the law, and from lust, those tie together, are caused not serving self, but serving saints. Okay? By the way, when we're serving saints, we're serving God. He says in the Matthew, he talks about it, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto... All right? Okay? So God takes it personal. When you do something in His name for somebody else, He says, hey, thank you. Appreciate that. And you're like, what? Yeah, yeah. I count that as you've done it for me. Okay? So our cause, God did not save us to serve ourselves, but to serve the saints. Notice here, do not use your liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for the flesh. It's like, I can do anything I want. Right? We talked about that. Yes. I'm free. My salvation is secure. It's paid for only and always because of what Jesus has done, not what I've done or not what I haven't done. But He says you're free, but don't use that freedom to serve yourself. The flesh, just like we talked about in the morning service, use your freedom to serve others. That's what you've been saved to do. To serve. Okay? You're not... It's ignorant religion. It's wrong religion to think that we are saved and do whatever we want. We are violating God's creation and intent for our lives, and also violating the grace of God that we talked about that brings salvation to all men, that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that He desires to make for Himself a special people, zealous of good works. That's second or Titus 2:14. Zealous of good works. That's His desire for us now. Good works is the idea of serving. Okay? Doing right. Doing good. So that's our cause. Not to serve self. It isn't, okay, Kevin, what do you want to do today? That's idolatry with me as the center. Right? Instead, when you pray, pray like this, Jesus says, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Not my name, Your name. Your kingdom come. Your intentions, not mine. Your will be done. Implication, not mine. Right? That's the whole idea. God, You're the center of attention. I'm not the center of attention. What You want done, that's what I do. The way You want it done, that's the way I do it. Okay? That's what we've been saved to. The law. We're free from the law. Why? Because Jesus has summarized the law. 39 books or this. You choose. Okay? You memorize 39 books and try and keep that. Or you can go just by one simple rule. What is that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, Jesus has fulfilled the law. We don't love our neighbor to earn any salvation, but we do this to be righteous outwardly. We treat our neighbor the same way we treat ourselves. How does that get us? That'd change a few things, wouldn't it? How many here like to be yelled at? How many like to be treated generously? Yeah. Yeah. Can I have a bigger piece of cake? You know what I'm saying? Jesus said this, all of the law, isn't it verse 14? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible says that over and over again. it's interesting that he's talking about just from a horizontal standpoint, because the Pharisees came and asked him in Matthew 22, he said, what's the greatest commandment? And we're going to try and trick him. And he says, hey, first is love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And he says, the second is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? Love God, love people. We've talked about that in the past. You can summarize the entire Old Testament. I've got the entire Old Testament somewhat summarized, memorized in my head. Love God, love people. How they do. You want to check my work? Okay? That's the idea. And here he says, all the law is fulfilled when you're talking about horizontal relationships. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's pretty good. That's not even hard to memorize. Love your neighbor. Let's say, love my neighbor as myself. That's five words. Anyone here want to tackle that for memory work? That's not even hard to remember. I mean, you don't even have to get the exact words and it sticks. Right? So that's what we've been called to. It's not self. Do you know what self does? Self-service, selfishness, working for the flesh puts you first instead of others. Sin impacts other people. Well, I'm only sinning. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. Who are you kidding? Or what we would say, what are you smoking? Because your sin most definitely impacts all of those around you. Whether it's discouragement, distraction, or destruction. Sin will do that. Your sin will do that to others. It'll keep people from being promoted and pushed in the right direction, and it'll pull them away from others, from the things that they should be doing. So love your neighbors yourself. We're free from the law. You can fulfill the law just by following this. That's, in summary, the law can be fulfilled as love your neighbors yourself. And by the way, he said, through love, serve one another. Okay, and verse 13, and he says the whole law is summarized. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving someone else before yourself, meeting their needs instead of yours. Lust, following your impulses and desires. There's a thousand different ways you could probably define this. But if you look in verse 15, it's interesting. We're talking about our neighbors now. When you think of lust, a lot of people think, oh, sexual immorality. It's a huge amount more than that. It's anything that you say you follow your impulses or desires. I fight an impulse almost every day. Sleep. So, you know, I'll go in and get my back adjusted sometimes. Are you allergic to anything? I said, the alarm clock. That's pretty much it. It says, every time I hear it, I feel awful. and then you just say, yeah, me too, you know, whatever. So, it's contagious. But anyway, that's an impulse. My body says, no, stay in bed. You stay here. That's an impulse. That's a desire. Okay? Do I want to do that? Is that a real impulse? Inarguably, okay? I have to get up because, I don't know, hungry, starving children just doesn't work for me, I guess. No. But, you know, bills and all that, yeah. But I'm saying it's the right thing to do. It's not what I want. It's not my desire, you know, as far as my fleshly desire. I do it because it's the right thing to do. Every day. Impulses and desires. We think of many things. We're going to look at a list here in a sec. But look at verse 15. We think of other things, but it's here, impulses and desires has something to do with relationships with other people. Okay, look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. How does that fit into the flesh as opposed to loving people? Where did I get impulses and desires out of biting and devouring one another? That's a good question. I took it metaphorically. The idea that, you know, you're just constantly chewing each other out and up. I think it's destroying people to their face and behind their back. What does that got to do with impulses and desires? Can that be an impulse or desire? Is lust involved with that? Is lust involved with gossip? Is lust involved with angry responses? Is that your impulse? I mean, I'm only talking about you. I have to read about it because I don't live in that world. Anger? Is that an impulse? Yeah. How about slamming people? You know, slandering them or just responding in a naughty way to them. Whether it's the word you use or how you say them. One of the least favorite verses in the Bible for me is, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth that only, you know, that adds grace to the hearers." Now, I don't usually have a problem with saying the wrong words too much. I struggle with the whole with grace to the hearer thing. You know, and sometimes I want to give people a piece of my mind as much as I can afford it. And that's an impulse. That's a desire. You want to react. You want to respond. That's what I'm talking about here. Now, it'll get into the whole sexual immorality thing and all that, but this is the same lustful heart that the rest of it comes from. It's all the same. In fact, was it Matthew? Is it 6? Is it 5? It says, if you call someone a fool, basically Jesus equates it with the same crime as murder. You're in danger of hell. What? And he says, yeah, because it's the same thing. Just one's inflamed a little more. They use the word moron. That's the Greek word. I'm like, when I hear people calling somebody a moron, I'm like, do you have any idea what you're saying? That's exactly what Jesus said. Though I don't think he's worried so much about the term you use as much as the idea that you're degrading somebody. And he says, if you call somebody a worthless idiot, you're in danger of hellfire. He's equating the two, and that's living by the flesh. That's living by our lust. It's just like, right? What, road rage, you know? That's murderous. Okay? That's the same heart. And Jesus said, out of the heart come all of these things. It reveals who we are. I hate that too. I hate that idea. It's like anytime I don't do right, it just bothers me, probably in pride, right? Double whammy there. Because it's like it shows me how far off the mark I am. It shows me how dark my heart is. I'm like, I don't like that. I want to be better. I think I'm better than I'm not. If that's what came out, that's what I am. Okay? Impulses and feelings. The whole idea of biting and devouring. That's the idea. You know, just kind of whether it's a heated argument or chewing them from the back. Right? Down to gossip and all that. And it's like, you know what? There's something we like about that. Maybe if I can chew Ted up and spit him out. You know what I mean? Yeah, probably not. Probably not. Yeah, let's do the metaphorical then. but I'm saying there's something about that. Why does gossip inflame people? They love that. And it's like, I've never understood. It's like, why? What do you think you're helping? Why don't you tell the person that you're talking about? well, yeah, it's not fun. It doesn't feed my flesh, right? It doesn't make me feel superior either. In fact, I have to be humble to do that. You know, it's backwards. Following your impulses and feelings. That's a life of lustfulness. Fleshliness is we do these things. Okay? And that's the result. Again, you can either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh, but you cannot do both at the same time, and there's no third option. You are either loving, serving people through love, or you are hurting people through what I would call hate. Hate is disregard. It doesn't necessarily have to be feelings of meanness from a biblical standpoint. You don't have to feel love or hate. It's what you do that makes, that defines those and why you do those. Questions or comments to this point? Number four. There are two choices. We talked about this in the morning service. Spirit living. I shrunk this down to fit it on the paper. Or lust living. Spirit living defeats lust living. So, what can you say? If I'm producing the works of the flesh that we haven't gotten to yet, there's the list that we get to. All we're saying is we have chosen to do that. Why? Because look at verse 16. We read this actually in the morning service as well. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How's that for an audacious comment from Scripture? And again, this is revealing as well, because it says, if I am doing these things, I am not walking by the Spirit. Because the Bible says, if I'm walking in the Spirit, I will not produce these things. Does that make sense? It's self-convicting. It's self-identifying. You can tell if you're walking in the Spirit or not by what you produce. Because the Spirit, and by the way, the Spirit wins. So it's a matter of where do you set your heart at? Walking after the Spirit, which we'll talk about in a little bit, or walking in the flesh. The Spirit wins. So it's not an issue of ability or enablement. It's the issue of what? Obedience or choice, right? That's the bottom line. The devil didn't make me do it. The world, you know, everyone else is doing it, so I didn't. No, you don't have to do it. You can be tempted, but you cannot be made to sin. Okay? There's only two choices, Spirit living and lust living, and Spirit living defeats lust living. So if you're living by your lust, it's simply because you are not living in the Spirit. Because that defeats lust living. It's stated as a very clear statement. Number five. Two forces. I didn't really know how else to say this, but the Spirit against the flesh. We mentioned it in the morning service again. But these are incompatible. They are contrary to one another, the Bible says. Verse 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Again, there's two forces. There's not three, there's not ten, there's two. The Spirit is the stronger of the two, but they cannot coexist. One has to rule and the other is defeated. The other is subservient and ineffective. Choose the Spirit, you have victory over the flesh. Choose the flesh, the Spirit has no effect. Because you've chosen that way. They're contrary. You cannot live in spiritual fleshliness. or you can't live in fleshly spirituality. There's no such thing. Put your finger here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. This is review for some of you. 1 Corinthians 2. Start verse 12. There's a lot more before it. Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now I want you to notice three types of people. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Keep reading. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" What are the three groups of people here? Okay, we have the natural man. What's the other one? Carnal. Okay. Which ones does the Bible identify are saved? The carnal and the spiritual? Like this? Right? I agree with Annie. But I'm just saying if anybody else would disagree. Why? He calls them brethren. Now, John MacArthur and several other people that believe in a teaching called Lordship Salvation, when you're saved, you'll live right and all that, I don't believe in that. It says here, you're brethren, you're still carnal. Brethren, carnal. You can be saved and be carnal. And what's the issue? You still need milk and not meat. And all of this, you're still living carnal. Carnal, what does the word carnal mean? Yeah. I'm going to use a different word. Carnal is fleshly. So you're living by your flesh, right? It's the word, you don't have to know this, but it's sarkikos. The word that we're looking at today that has to do with flesh is sarx. This is just an adjective form. You're fleshly. You're living by your flesh. Natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can they because they're spiritually discerned. So the natural man is unsaved. Okay? What's the issue though? Is the natural man fleshly? Yeah. See, the issue is, it's this, hopefully I don't confuse the matter. Did I? What did they do with the color? I don't remember what color I had. Is it this? All right. I don't think this is the right color, but no. All right. But there's this is a group here that I could draw here. Maybe I'll put a dotted line here. But they live by their flesh. Okay? The spiritual person lives by the Spirit of God. It is connected in some way to the truth of God because it talks about milk and meat. So you have to learn the Word of God and live the Word of God to be spiritual. These people are saved, but they're still carnal. They're still fleshly. They still act like unsaved people because that's the way unsaved people act. Okay? And that's what we're talking about here. The idea that there's the spirit and the flesh. Can you live wrongly and still be saved? I believe so. What benefit is that? It only hinders. It only hurts. It only destroys. It only pulls other people down. Okay? And so there's no value other than it hurts people. And notice what was their issue. When they're fleshly, they're choosing sides. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. They're arguing. Isn't it interesting that fleshliness results in argument? Not arguments. Hopefully, if there's differences of opinion, we can present our views. There's nothing wrong with that. That being argumentative is wrong. Not listening to arguments is wrong, I believe. But this is being fleshly. It's just attacking each other. Okay? Choosing sides. It's like, well, choosing sides, we're all on the same team. What are you talking about? That's what Paul said. Hey, we're all here. And don't get too proud because God didn't choose many smart people anyway. Right? Look at us. We're all here. Okay? So that's the group here. By the way, they look the same. Whoops, that's the wrong one here. Sorry. Fleshly, soulish. It uses the word we get psychology from it, the soul. They're soulish. They're not spiritual. And then this is spiritly. Spiritual, spiritly. No such word, but you get the idea. Spiritly. A spiritual person is someone who lives by the truth of God, not by their flesh. A soulish person cannot live by the Spirit of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. They live by their flesh. A carnal person is someone who is saved, has the Spirit of God, but lives by their flesh. And the point is, why? And you can't do both. You're either one or the other. Notice, the Bible gives you two choices. Always. You live for God or live for Satan. You live for self, you live for others. You live in the spirit, you live in the flesh. That's your two choices. There's no third choice for us. Okay? So that's 1 Corinthians 2 and 3 there. A lot of people disagree with me. To me, it's so evident that it's ridiculous. The Lordship Salvation people, but... And we'll talk about that even more in a little bit. What number are we on? 6? I guess I can see that, can't I? Are you like eating my markers or something? Have another piece of banana bread, dude. Okay, there's two worlds. You're under the law. Remember we're going to talk about the law again. Or you're free from the law. There's two parts. The Bible says that we're free from the law. Verse 18 of Galatians. You can flip back to Galatians now. I pulled my notes out so I could read them and lost my place. Okay, there it is again. Okay, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now listen, not under the law sounds like lawlessness, doesn't it? You're not led by the law. the Old Testament, if you will. You're not led by all of those regulations. So are you free to do whatever you want? What's your choice? Two choices, the law or, verse 18.
What's verse 18?
Pardon me? Yeah, Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Does that sound like you can do whatever you want? You're either under the law or you are what? Under the Spirit. Is there any under Kevin here? You can fit your name in the blank. Huh? You're either under the law or under the Spirit. When we're saved, we're free from the law. Christ has fulfilled the law. So what are we? We're not free to be me. We are led by the Spirit. Right? We're not absent from authority. We are now freed to serve God. Led by the Spirit of God. Two worlds. Under the law or free from the law. And you can put underneath that in your notes, maybe, under the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Led means it's leading you. You're not leading you. The Spirit is leading you. Okay? Okay, the rest of these, I don't know where I'm going to write them. Maybe I'll stick them up here. I'll do them over here. Try it anyway. On the left side of the board. Number 7, there's two results. We'll just read through these again. Number 7, two results. There's lustful living. And there is, that's the works of the flesh. And there's spirit walking. And that is, it's interesting, but the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Those are two different ones. Isn't it interesting? It's not works of the Spirit. The Spirit produces fruit in us. The works of the flesh, this is what the flesh results in. Look at Galatians again. Ceiling fan's great, except it flips your paper, your Bible. Look at, here's the list. And it's probably not a complete list, and it's probably stuff that stems into other things. But notice that the works of the flesh, verse 19, are evident. They're obvious. I mean, you don't have to be a PhD in something. You don't have to have some kind of Christian education to get this. They're obvious. I mean, unsaved people know what bad is. Okay? Adultery. Fornication. See, we listed those. Yeah, those people should burn. They should burn. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Even just the indiscretionary kind of stuff. Maybe in the way we dress could be lewd. Idolatry. Ooh, we're getting a little closer now because the Bible says covetousness is idolatry. We live in a land of covetousness. Charge it. Right? I don't have the money. Charge it. Idolatry. Putting anything else before God. How many people had something else going on today instead of God? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, all of us have got stuff we can do, right? I mean, think of all the great assemblies today, wherever they are, whether they're racetracks or ball games or I don't know, bingo. I don't know what's going on. Buffets. You know, they're usually a breakfast buffet. I like breakfast. I like all you can eat. All of that together. Idolatry. It's putting something else in the place of God. Sorcery. Is that not rampant in our day? Sorcery? I remember seeing years ago it was just Mickey Mouse and he was a sorcerer or something. And I'm like, I can't believe that people would want that. Well, look where God is now. I have daughters that have or do work at the library. They keep the witchcraft books behind the desk as people steal them. but one of the hottest sections of the library is the witchcraft books. And thanks for supporting that with your tax dollars, by the way. I mean, those are hot and heavy items because they're in such demand. Okay? Sorcery. By the way, in all the movies and stuff like that anymore, it's that way. Whether it's Star Wars, remember the whole Force Be With You kind of stuff? It was sorcery wrapped in a soft package. All of that stuff is, and we're like lulled into sleep, thinking, oh, that's okay. It's just amazing. I won't review the Star Wars stuff. There's just so much that it's not only similar to the Bible, it's almost blasphemous at times. Hatred. Oh, we went from adultery to hatred now. Whoa, that's the work of the flesh. And what do you have to do to hate? Sometimes all you have to do is nothing. Anyone here do nothing when you should have done something? That's hatred. That's hatred. You don't. But I didn't feel anything. Hey, perfect evidence of hatred. It didn't even twinge you. Contentions. You argue with anybody this week? Or maybe you read about somebody who did. This is works of the flesh. Same heart that adultery comes out of, fornication, lewdness, right? Jealousy. Why did I get that car? And look at my car. I mean, mine's better than his. And not as nice as hers. You know, or whatever. Outbursts of wrath. Come on. You group this with adultery? God, come on. And he says, yes, absolutely. Same heart. Outbursts of wrath, murder, you know, you get the thing. Same thing. Selfish ambition. That's the flesh, really? Me, myself, and I want to do this without asking God, without checking in with Him, and that is the flesh? Yes. Dissensions, rejecting authority, if you will. Heresies, schisms. No, that's actually the word heresy is actually in Greek. Splitting things, splitting people up, taking sides. That's heresy. Taking sides when you're part of the same side, that's what we're talking about here. Envy. Now, in the middle of between adultery and all this other stuff, and then we're back to murder, God just kind of groups them all in the same pile. Murders, drunkenness. So God says drunkenness is in the same pile. It's selfish ambitions, jealousies, or outbursts of wrath. Really? And all the time I thought I was better than other people. That's like, no, I'm just living on a different level of the flesh. Same heart. Revelries, parties, if you will. Wild parties, drunken parties, whatever. And the like. It's not intended to be a list, but it says it's obvious. They're evident. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. The Bible says that God put a conscience in you. He put something in you. The law, if you will, written in our hearts so we know what's right and wrong. We don't have to sit there and read our Bible to know. Have you noticed that? People know that there's a right and wrong. You know, when you cut them off with that fish sticker in the back of your car, and you cut them off or you pass them like a wild woman or wild man, and they're like, that's unfair. Why is that unfair? You know, they've got the fish symbol with the legs coming out. You know what I mean? They believe in evolution, and somehow they think there's a right and wrong. Well, how do they think there's a right and wrong if there's no right and wrong in evolution? But in their heart, that's unfair. Right? They know that. It's evidence. You walk up to them and slit their tires or smack them in the face. Why should they matter if they believe in evolution? They got right and wrong in their heart. That's not right. You cheated me. That's not fair. Right? These things are evident, the Bible says. And notice here, it says, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the way the world lives. Whether they have a suit on or not, The prostitute and the corporate executive are living by the same standard of the flesh. Maybe you don't see it on the outside, but it's certainly there on the inside. It's the same flesh. It's just a different level or a different whatever. It's like you get tired of the whole, another corporate exec, whatever. It was HP this time, the sex scandal kind of thing. Or pastors and preachers. Don't you get tired of that? It's like it's the same flesh. Lustful living, that's the works of the flesh. You can identify it. It's easily to see if you're living by the flesh or not. Here's a list. And it's like, okay, it is. I don't have to wonder, is this right or wrong? It's obvious, but in case it's not obvious, here's a sampling. It's a pretty good sampling. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, this is what results when I'm walking by the Spirit. Love. I care for people. Joy. Maybe there's even a contentment there, even in the midst of difficulty. Peace, as opposed to contentions. Did you get that? Joy is kind of the opposite of envy and jealousy and stuff too, Long suffering. Isn't that outbursts of wrath? How does that work into long suffering, Kindness. Well, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. Yes, I can afford it. I want to lash them with my tongue for a while. Long suffering, kindness, goodness, just doing good, faithfulness. You're reliable. Gentleness. Sometimes translated meekness. You have power, but you don't abuse that power. Self-control. Again, outbursts of wrath, all of the revelries, the wild parties and stuff like that. That's not self-control. And then notice this. Against such, there is no what? Law. See, notice we're free from the law because we're led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead us to do what is right. Because we know, which is loving? Yell at them or be kind to them? The Spirit reveals it. That we know that. Okay? We can identify it right away. There's no advanced degree required. In fact, probably a 3-year-old can get this. Maybe not be able to tell it, but they know. Is that good or bad? Right? Against us there is no law. You're led by the Spirit, you don't have to worry about the law because you will do what you'll love your neighbor as yourself. You will do what God wants you to do. What does God think about this situation? Okay? That's being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is letting God lead. There's two camps. Verse 24. With Christ and what else? Without Christ, right? There's only two camps again, with Christ and without, when it comes to being saved or unsaved. Look at verse 24. And those who are Christ, we're talking about those who are saved, notice this, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now what? He's talking to people that aren't necessarily crucifying, or they're still having issues with the flesh. How is this happening? How is verse 24 true? Okay, they're not walking in the Spirit, but verse 24 is talking past tense. So if this is true, why isn't it true that we don't have to worry about the flesh again? It says those that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, then I shouldn't have to worry. Right? I'm Christ. So I've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I should be good to go. I don't have to worry about all this works of the flesh stuff. What's the difference? Is it true of a believer? It says it's true of a believer. Do you still fight passions and desires of the flesh? So what's the, let me just cross this out here. No, what's it talking about? Remember, there's a standing. This is true. Christ has died. We have been crucified with Christ. We've been risen with Christ. We can walk in newness of life because that's what we are in Christ. We've been risen with Christ. It's true. That's our standing. Either you're in or out. But if you're Christ, that's a done deal. It's already been crucified with its passions and desires. So what do we need to do? We need to act on what is true. Look at verse 25. One of the most amazing verses. I don't get the Lordship Salvation people to say saved people will live rightly or they're not really saved kind of thing. Verse 9, or number 9. There's two parts. There's the life and the walk. Or another way to say it, there's birth. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Behavior, birth and behavior. Do you get that? Verse 25 again, look. Look at verse 25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Now let me ask you this. As far as I know, no one here has a doctorate in theology or whatever. And I'm pointing that out on purpose. Is there a difference between living and walking? There's a difference between being alive in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Based upon Galatians 5:25. Yeah. It's an obvious. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, live in the Spirit. We're born by the Spirit of God. John 3 even talks about that. Okay? We're born again by the Spirit of God. If we're alive in the Spirit, let's live in the Spirit. Let's live by means of the Spirit. We've been brought to life, to spiritual life, just like this over here. We've been brought to spiritual life. Let's live the spiritual life rather than still living the carnal life. Those are two separate things. But we're telling you that's the way we should live. We should live by means of the Spirit rather than still living by means of the flesh. What it appears to me in Galatians 5 is, unless we choose to live by the Spirit of God, we will live in the flesh. What do you have to do to choose to live in the flesh? Nothing. You're already living in the flesh. If you're saved, you're saved. You've crucified the flesh with all its passions and desires. That's the truth. But the Bible says some people just live by the passions and desires of the flesh anyway, even though that's already been put to death. Well, I'll just live by it anyway. I'll live by what I want, my impulses, my desires. But there's two separate things. And the Bible says, no. Do not use their liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Right? But through love, serve one another. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Yeah, absolutely. Birth and behavior, life and walk. And then number 10 goes down to the last verse. So it's almost like thrown back in, like as a warning. Verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Notice, Paul comes back around and basically says, the only other option is a miserable existence with other people. Because that is a life of the flesh. Even if it's external, superficial, nicey-nicey, the flesh rules. Okay? So there's two possibilities, again, by the flesh or by the Spirit. Flesh and Spirit. So it's either or again. Well, I want to live somewhere in the middle. No, you can't. You're either living by the flesh or by the Spirit. Those are your two choices. And it's like it's much better to live free from sin unto God, doing what God wants, serving others through love, or instead of living my own way by my flesh and producing that whole list. Because that's the only two options. Are you living by the flesh? Are you living by the Spirit of God? Living by the Spirit of God, you will, through love, serve other people. That's what He's telling you to do. Don't use your freedom, your liberty, to serve yourself in the flesh, by means of the flesh. Use your freedom that God has given you. You to crucify the flesh with its lusts and desires, passions and desires. Use that to serve others as God wants. Okay, that's His idea. The only other result is fighting, getting conceited, destroying people. That's your result. Every man, every woman for himself kind of thing. That's your other choice. God rules or self rules? And God rules is the eternal benefiting way to live, both for you and for other people. That is the way God intended. Otherwise, let me just illustrate with this. This is my last thing here. Otherwise, a life living for self in the flesh, in essence, in God's viewpoint, would be like a life of running your fingernails across a blackboard. Okay? It just turns everything wrong. Only in a much worse way. Okay? It impacts and hurts everybody because it's every person for himself. Do me a favor. I didn't get to him today. Read the verses at the bottom when you get a chance, including Titus 3, 1 through 8. Maybe today, tomorrow, whatever, okay? Take it home and read it. Titus 3 says it in a summary statement. So, all right, thank you for your patience and your endurance. Lord, thank you for your truth. Help us to walk in your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.